business world is loaded with trendy buzzwords for the next big thing. A lot of those come from the tech world. We've been inundated with articles about, say, customer relationship management, CRM. And of course, you can't read an article without hearing about BI, business intelligence. But collaboration, work groups, and other terms referring to people working together effectively and efficiently in groups are very hot now. But this is more than a flavor of the month. We need to be able to work with others on projects and intelligently and easily share documents, schedules, to-do lists, images, plans, and so on. Microsoft SharePoint is a tool, as our guest Paul Stork will tell us, that serves as the glue for all your business processes. In this interview, Paul explains SharePoint and some of the scenarios for its use. It's for the business owner and manager, leaving the techie stuff out. Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show. We're speaking with Paul Stork again. Paul, since the last time you've been on a podcast with us, it seems like you have just a few more certifications even. It must be pretty hard for you to have a business card printed anymore.
Well, it is getting to the point. The joke is that I'm going to need to start listing the certifications that I don't have instead of the ones that I do because the list is shorter.
Now, while we have a lot of techies and people with some of those certifications after their name like you listening to these podcasts, we also have a predominance of business owners and business managers, business people. And they've probably heard this the term SharePoint bandied about many times. It's extremely popular now. You can't really get away from it. It's not just another application, though. How do you define SharePoint?
Well, the easiest way to define SharePoint as a single word would be that SharePoint is the glue that you use to hold your business applications and your business processes together.
Okay, and if you remember back, for those of you who remember SharePoint 2003, it was actually two products, but now we're at SharePoint 2007. What's happened?
Well, when Microsoft rewrote SharePoint for 2007, they consolidated the two products, namely Windows SharePoint Services and SharePoint Portal Server, into a single product that now has three layers of services. There is Windows SharePoint Services, which is still the free product, and then layered on top of that is not a separate product, but additional services and features called Microsoft Office SharePoint Server Standard Edition and Moss Enterprise Edition.
So, of course, being the tech industry, they have to have nice acronyms like WSS and Moss and all that. That's typical. Microsoft Windows Vista is out now, and Vista is probably the first version of the operating system that provides a different user experience for different levels of hardware. And SharePoint is actually different to different people, isn't it?
SharePoint is a very, very versatile product and really can be used in a number of different ways depending on what your business wants to do with it. You can use it for collaboration amongst small groups. You can use it for publishing that information out to a wider audience. You can use it as the basis for a collaboration system that can be used to build a published internet site that establishes your corporate presence on the internet. You've got a number of different possibilities, all based on the same product, depending on how you configure it and use it.
Now let's look at a real case scenario. Say you have a team of, say, six people are working on a project together. In the old days, we might create a network file share, and everyone would save their Word documents or Excel spreadsheets to that file share, and they'd be able to see it and access it and maybe edit and delete and all that. But what additional richness or functionality does a SharePoint solution bring to a scenario like that?
Well, one of the problems with that old solution was that a lot of times you had information that you wanted to store that wasn't really conducive to storing in a particular file-based format. And so we ran into things like, you know, you had a list of contact phone numbers that was stored in an Excel spreadsheet. Or we had a list of to-do dates, a small project plan that we stored into an Excel spreadsheet because we weren't big enough to use Microsoft product or some other specific tool for that. So you had a lot of information that was crammed into file formats that were not necessarily appropriate because you had nothing better to use it for. One of the things that SharePoint brings to the environment now is a flexible way of storing that information in a format that makes it most usable. So if I have an event list, it can be viewed in a calendar format. If I have a contact list, it can be viewed and searched as a list of names and phone numbers. If I have a to-do list, I can keep track not only of who's responsible for those particular items, but how far along they are and when are they due to be completed. Information is now stored in a list that is specifically built for that particular kind of information.
Okay, and now what happens when we have a bunch of these small little work groups working together and someone wants to be able to access the information from those project teams?
Well, at some point the project team is going to reach completion and they're going to want to make that information available to a wider audience. And the problem in the past has always been is that there are manual ways to make that available to people simply by adding them to the security of the project team. But the problem is that it's tough for people to juggle all of the different links that they get from that kind of an environment. And that's when we start getting into SharePoint being used as a portal. We normally like to say that SharePoint as a portal does three things. It aggregates content, so I can take all that information and pull it into a central structure. It organizes that content so that I can make it available so that even if you didn't put it in there, there are going to be menuing systems and ways of getting that information out that are understandable. And third, it presents the information. Because one of the problems with that much information, when you start piling it on top of other information that's out there, is that it can get lost in the shuffle. And so SharePoint provides, as a portal environment, capabilities like alerts and RSS feeds and audiences so that we can target specific information at people who have specific interests and thereby avoid information overload and help people to find what they need to find.
And finally, a third way that SharePoint may be used, you know, with the internet not being a static environment, it demands frequent changes and all. SharePoint can be used to manage some content.
One of the ways that you can use SharePoint as a content management system is that you can divide the content from the infrastructure. And so now your IT staff can go in and they can set up the corporate look and feel of the site and the navigation of the site and the basic layout of the pages and then turn it over to your end users who know the content to actually author the content, approve the content, and deploy the content to that website by adding additional pages to the environment without having to get IT involved. So you can now change the content that's out on the site without having to go to the IT staff and get a web designer involved because they've already built the look and feel and you're just filling in the blanks.
Now, listening to that, about half of our audience is probably cheering and half is booing and afraid because, you know, empowering the end user, which is something that SharePoint does so well, and decentralizing away from IT can be scary to management and IT. You know, what if the end user screws something up or if they post things that shouldn't be on a web page? That's scary to the company.
Well, it is scary to a company, but the companies that really compete in today's marketplaces are the companies where every employee is pulling towards the corporate goal. And there is a point at which you need to train your employees, and that is critical with SharePoint, and then you have to trust them to know what they're doing. And if you've trained them well and you trust your employees, what you end up with is everybody pushing towards the corporate goal instead of having your employees pushing towards the corporate goal and IT pushing towards trying to figure out whether the employees are doing the right job or not.
Now, very basically for our listeners, SharePoint needs to run on Windows Servers 2003, right? And you recommend Active Directory.
It runs on top of Windows Server 2003 and normally will be used in conjunction with Active Directory, although there are some other possibilities that are now available. On top of that, then, you're going to use the standard .NET framework. It's .NET Framework 3.0 because SharePoint now makes use of the additional component Windows for Workflow that was rolled into .NET Framework 3.0 last fall. It uses Internet Information Server as the web server and SQL Server as the back-end storage mechanism, and then SharePoint gets layered on top of all of that to provide the actual functionality of the sites.
Would a typical IT person who can manage and maintain a Windows Server 2003 environment, be able to install and configure and implement SharePoint, or do you need third-party help?
That's kind of a trick question to answer, because the answer is there's nothing about administering SharePoint that is particularly difficult. Someone who understands and can administer a Windows Server 2003 environment could definitely learn how to administer SharePoint, but there is a certain amount of knowledge that is required. And we normally recommend that people get training on SharePoint. It's anybody who can administer a Windows Server 2003 system probably has the capability to do it, but not necessarily the specific knowledge that's required.
And finally, Paul, you're talking about SharePoint being the glue which holds your business processes together. I'm assuming that means you can have other type of business processes that this wraps around instead of having to just commit to this one solution.
Oh, certainly. As I pointed out, there are a number of different ways that you can design your system that run all the way from a collaborative system to a portal to an environment where you are essentially using it to publish your information to the internet. SharePoint also includes a lot of capability for then tying into back-end line of business systems like SAP, PeopleSoft, customer relationship management systems, accounting systems. SharePoint is built open-ended so that you can basically plug information from your environment, no matter where it's stored, into SharePoint for people to find it and display it.
Well, it's been another good interview with Paul Stork. Paul's working for a company called MindSharp. Right now it's mindsharp.com. Thanks, Paul.
You're welcome, Dan. Always a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.